Hello again. Today, the Feast of St. Bridget of Sweden provides an opportunity to reflect upon some features of Swedish spirituality. What? You never heard of St. Bridget of Sweden, much less Swedish spirituality? Then again, maybe you do not know any Swedes. Well, allow me to introduce you to St. Bridget by giving you a glimpse of some experiences I've had with Swedish American folks, beginning with my family. Their names are Stephanie and Annika, and they, along with their brothers Jack, Kevin, and James, are two of my 27 grandnieces and nephews. And these American Swedish girls became relatives when my nephew, Kevin Johnson, married Christina Hansen, a beautiful woman from Minnesota. Each time I see Christina and Kevin and their five Irish, Swedish, American children, I give thanks for their presence in our family. Before Christina Hansen brought her Swedish heritage into my Irish American clan, I had a sense of Sweden and Swedish and Scandinavian culture in general by living a cold but happy winter in Minnesota, or as they say, Minnesota. You see, 20 years ago, I spent a semester researching writing at the Ecumenical Institute of St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota. In the 1850s, a community of Benedictine monks from Germany settled into the Virgin Territory near what is now known as St. Cloud, Minnesota, which the Benedictine property consists of 2,500 acres and three lakes. It certainly makes for an idyllic area, and the living out of word, work, and worship, three cornerstones of Benedictine spirituality. This region also was settled in the 19th century by a host of Swedes and Scandinavians. It was also made popular by Garrison Keillor, whose program Prairie Home Companion talked about the fictitious land of Lake Wobegon. It began his program at the radio station at St. John's University in the early 1970s. Throughout the more than 40 years of broadcasting on National Public Radio, Keillor described the quirky ways of the Swedes and Scandinavians of this region. Perhaps you are familiar with some of them. There is Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery Store. If you can't find it at Ralph's, you can probably get along pretty good without it. There was Bertha's Kitty Boutique for persons who care about cats. And then the Sidetrack Tap, run by Wally and Evelyn, the dim little place in the dark where the pinball machine never tilts, the clock is a half hour slow, and love never dies. And then, of course, the Chatterbox Cafe, the place to go that's just like home. And then there is Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, the Catholic Church, where Father Emil and Father Wilmer were the priest. And of course, the line that opened the show, Welcome to Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. While these names and places are, of course, fictitious about the St. Cloud area, there is, in fact, in this area, a blending of Catholic and Lutheran styles and temperaments, and throughout much of Minnesota in general. As folks of Minnesota are likely to say, you betcha. With these family and religious experiences of Sweden in mind, I find a special meaning in today's celebration of St. Bridget. Not only is she Sweden's greatest saint, she is also one of the patron saints of Europe. Allow me to introduce you to St. Bridget further. You see, she was a medieval mystic woman who was born in 1303 and died in 1373. In 1316, as a young adolescent, Bridget married Ulf Godmarsson of the family of Ulfasa, Lord of Narka, to whom she bore eight children, four daughters and four sons. Bridget's second daughter is now honored as St. Catherine of Sweden. In 1344, Bridget and her husband went on pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela. After her husband's death, Bridget was led to form a religious order of men and women known as the Bridgettines, which still exists today. She subsequently made pilgrimages to Rome, Jerusalem, and Bethlehem. Bridget was a strong woman of vision who organized her community's monastery with the instruction for the construction of the monastery now known as the Blue Church, and she insisted that the abbess, the head of the monastery for both men and women, should preside over the nuns and the monks. This abbess represented the Blessed Virgin Mary, hence the Blue Church. Bridget is the most honored Swedish saint, certainly because of our leadership and the works of charity, but also because of our mysticism. I can well imagine that Bridget meditated on the text of today's gospel from the 15th chapter of John, where we read, quote, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you." Certainly a widow, mother of 8 children, 2 of whom died in childhood, Bridget would have meditated on these words many times. Since the Swedish Reformation in the 16th century, Catholicism in Sweden has all but disappeared. For example, presently there are barely 100,000 Catholic Swedes, and there are only 3 Jesuits in all of Sweden. Sadly, while Lutheranism is the major religion, the vast majority of Swedes do not practice any faith. A recent study by the Pew Foundation found that only 19% of Swedes identify themselves as religious, and only 27% identify themselves as spiritual. This is the lowest percent of any Western nation. Moreover, 66% of Swedes see themselves as neither religious nor spiritual. And yet, historically, Sweden has brought remarkable spiritual leaders into Western European spirituality. Besides St. Bridget, one of the most remarkable spiritual Swedes was the former Secretary General of the United Nations, Dag Hammarskjöld. He served as the Secretary General of the United Nations from 1953 until his tragic death in 1961. On his way to negotiate a peace settlement among warring factions in the Congo, Hammarskjöld's plane is believed to have been shot down. Found among his belongings was his personal journal that, when published in 1963 in the English title Markings, it became an immediate bestseller. Because of Hammarskjöld's many efforts at peace negotiations, for which he literally gave his life, he was awarded posthumously the Nobel Peace Prize in 1961. So as to give you a sense of his profound Swedish spirituality, allow me to quote a few passages from his book, Markings. Hammarskjöld wrote, quote, "I am the vessel, the draft is God's, and God is the thirsty one," unquote. He was a man who also observed his dreams, as he wrote, quote, "In a dream I walked with God through the deep places of creation, past walls that receded and gates that opened through hall after hall of silence, darkness, and refreshment, the dwelling place of souls acquainted with light and warmth, until around me was an infinity into which we all flowed together and lived anew, like the rings made by raindrops falling upon wide expanse of calm, dark waters," unquote. And one can notice Hammarskjöld's simple yet profound insights implied in this sentence, quote, "The more faithfully you listen to the voices within you, the better you will hear what is sounding outside," unquote. Then there are the words which were inscribed on a poster which, as a young man, I had hung on a bedroom wall. It read, quote, I don't know who or what put the question. I don't know when it was put. I don't even remember answering. But at some moment I did answer yes to someone or something. And from that hour I was certain that existence is meaningful and that therefore my life in self-surrender had a goal. Unquote. And finally, these affirming words from Hammarskjöld, quote, "For all that has been, thanks, and to all that shall be, yes," unquote. And so, folks, in their unique way, Swedes have a distinct form of spirituality, whether through the wisdom of Dag Hammarskjöld or the witness of St. Bridget. Sweden has enriched the landscapes of the sacred. Of course, there is another saint by the name of Bridget. She was St. Bridget of Ireland, and her feast day is February 1st. Do you think that Ireland has a spiritual tradition? You will have to wait until February 1st to hear about their sacred stories.